here with this week's hottest stories in the investment world. This is Zach's Friday Finish Line.
Hello and welcome to the Zach's Friday Finish Line. I am Ryan McQueenie, an associate stock strategist here at Zach's, along with one of our editors, Maddie Johnson.
Hello, today is Friday, May 11th, and we're here to recap this week's biggest stories from the investment and financial world. So earnings from the likes of NVIDIA and Disney hogged investor attention these past few days, and with the news from the U.S. will be withdrawing from the Iran nuclear deal, also taking up headlines throughout the rest of the country and even perhaps the world.
Yeah, we'll start right there this week. President Donald Trump officially announced from the White House early Tuesday afternoon that the U.S. will back out of the joint agreement with Iran. And like most of Trump's decisions, it was a polarizing one. Trump stated that the deal was, quote unquote, defective at its core, and criticized the compromise for allowing Iran to continue enriching uranium. Proponents of the agreement, on the other hand, firmly believe that it kept us and our allies safer.
So we won't go into all of the arguments for and against the deal. That could take up
an entire
podcast on its own.
A week.
I don't want to do that. Yeah. I don't have the background nor the knowledge to discuss the pros and cons of the Iran nuclear deal.
We don't have the geopolitical expertise.
Exactly. But we should note that the withdrawal will also include the reinstatement of far-reaching economic sanctions on Iran, which could have implications for companies here in the U.S. and maybe even on oil prices. So I did want to note that on Tuesday, at the closing of the markets, oil prices settled down to around $1.67 a barrel, and that was down 2.4% at $69.06. And this is West Texas Intermediate crude, but this is well off a 4.38% decline. So this is like the immediate effect on oil right after the announcement. Brent crude, however, this is the international benchmark, this fell 47 cents or 0.6% to 75.71. But this was also paring back an earlier decline of 4%. So while both West Texas and Brent crude, like they saw like an immediate decline, like in 4% declines, they kind of were able to gain back a little bit at the market closed. We had a discussion with one of our research directors, Shiraz Mian, here at Zacks, and we were like, well, what is going to be the effect on oil prices? Iran is the third largest oil producer in OPEC. What's the deal? You know, as consumers, are we going to see effect at the pump? Are gas prices going to go up, especially as we head into spring and summer? And he said that while there's going to be a ton of like psychological headlines, like oil prices are going to rise, beware. Like, he said that there's not going to be a lot of like near term effect. And we can't really like predict like how oil is going to move right now.
Right.
We just can't say.
Yeah. Plus, it's the summer, like you said, so it's
prices are going to rise.
Yeah, gas prices.
There's going to be more demand. We're going on vacations.
Yeah.
We're going on road trips.
And we'll see that every year.
More people are on the road. This happens every single year during this season.
Perhaps even like just weird timing with this, where we're maybe going to feel something at the pump, and then everyone's going to go, gee, does this have anything to do with that?
Huh.
That darn nuclear deal? And then it's actually just a seasonal type of trend.
But I do think, keeping an eye on oil prices is always, key here. And always think, but again, we're heading into the summer, more demand, higher prices are kind of inevitable now.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, definitely just something to think about.
Touching on another thing you mentioned there, effects on companies here in the U.S., I do want to highlight Boeing, because Boeing was one of the major U.S. companies who, right when this deal was kind of inked and there was some rollback of sanctions, went right into Iran and kind of made some deals happen. Stands to lose about $20 billion for a contract to produce 110 new planes for Irani airline companies, mostly Iran Air. Boeing either has 90 or 180 days to sever the agreement with Iran, which is obviously, as you said, now going to be faced with renewed sanctions by the U.S. Apparently, there's going to be some penalties for failing to sever the agreement in time. I don't think we know those exactly yet. But on top of Boeing, we should also note that France-based Airbus was also going to be affected. Also had an even bigger deal, actually, with airline companies in Iran. And then, of course, aircraft parts producer General Electric also going to feel some of that effect. Just based on that alone, you would think that Boeing would have taken a hit this week. You know, 110 planes is obviously a sizable order for a company like Boeing. But looking at the stock this week, shares of Boeing are actually up 2.5% over the past five days. And so there's clearly a little bit more to the story here. The real key here is that most of these planes, the majority of this order was 777s. And that used to be a huge part of Boeing's business. It was a huge part of a huge profit driver for them specifically. It's actually spent some time reducing its dependency on the 777 program recently. The company used to build as much as 100 777s a year and now has a target rate of about 3.5 a month. Apparently, the order was not, speaking specifically to the Iran order, was not part of its backlog of these jets as of April, so had not yet been included in production plans and plans on how to reach the 3.5 per month target. It has a backlog of 94 777s right now. And so I think the immediate reaction here from investors and analysts is, okay, actually, we'll be fine. The dependency right now, the big thing for Boeing is the 737 program. The backlog there is several thousand aircraft. So that's obviously a much bigger part of the business model right now. And initial reactions are saying, you know, might be able to get to this target rate over the next few years anyway without this order. And, you know, the 777 program just isn't what it once was for Boeing. So Boeing grabbing headlines as one of these companies that's going to be majorly directly affected by the back out of this deal. However, the stock's up on the week, and what we've learned so far over the past few days is probably not that big of a deal. Definitely something to keep our eyes on as Boeing does come to the agreement to officially sever the contract. The company said it was going to work directly with the U.S. government to figure it out. So more to come on this story, but not so doom and gloom for Boeing this week. Other news, as we hinted at the beginning of the show this week, we had Disney earnings. So let's go there.
Yes, Disney, Marvel, Inc., Star Wars, Inc., and Mickey Mouse. So Disney reported after the closing bell on Tuesday, the media giant, media conglomerate in the works of buying 21st Century Fox, reported adjusted earnings of $1.84 per share. And this beat the Zacks consensus estimate of $1.68 per share. Disney also saw revenue figures of $14.55 billion, beating our consensus estimate of $14.23 billion. Total revenue was up 9% year over year. Disney also saw media networks revenues of $6.14 billion in the second quarter. This topped our consensus estimate of $6.12 billion and marked year-over-year growth of 3%. Looking at cable networks revenue, lots of different revenue segments for Disney. This revenue segment increased 5% to reach $4.3 billion in the quarter, with segment operating income declining, however, 4% to touch $1.7 billion. Disney said that lower operating income was primarily due to a loss at BAMTech and, wait for it, decreases at ESPN and Freeform, which formerly known as ABC Family.
One of my least favorite TV channel renames that I've ever had, but people got used to it quickly.
Yeah, they did.
As an aside, don't like Freeform.
Whatever. The company specifically mentioned that higher programming costs at ESPN were partially offset by affiliate revenue growth and higher advertising growth. looking at Disney's studio entertainment revenues, which is literally every movie in the theaters right now. Just kidding. I'm exaggerating. Maybe not. Maybe every movie that's coming Solo's into the
about
theaters.
To come out, so
Solo.
Yeah, Avengers.
Avengers is now dominating. So these segment revenues soared 21% to hit $2.45 billion. We can thank Black Panther for that, probably.
Never heard of it.
The unit's operating income also surged 29% to reach $847 million. So Black Panther, this pulled in more than $1.3 billion so far worldwide box office.
Yeah.
Yeah. The movie's success helped boost studio entertainment revenue even more since there was not a comparable Marvel movie released in the prior year period. Yeah, so Black Panther, February, during Black History Month. That's a summer blockbuster. And usually summer blockbusters come out during the summer, starting in May through August. So it was, last February, it was probably some, I don't know.
We've had three summer blockbusters, or we're about to have three summer blockbusters from Disney already, and it's not even, we're halfway through
May. It's not June yet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. With Solo coming out before the end of the month,
yeah.
And Avengers certainly being something that could be a midsummer blockbuster as well. So
Deadpool too.
Yeah.
Deadpool 2. This past quarter also included A Wrinkle in Time, which I'm not sure of the total box office, but I can't imagine that didn't do too bad.
It did all right. And we should know that the comparable quarter last year was Beauty and the Beast was the big hit.
Oh yeah.
So loved, and that did really well for
loved
them
that
as
movie.
Well.
Yeah.
So I think the big story there for ESPN again is an operating decline in cable networks. So we saw revenue up, but the division less profitable. That BAM Tech, if you will remember, that's the streaming video company that they bought a couple years ago now. And that was, they used that tech to launch the ESPN Plus thing that came out over the past quarter. And that was what they said caused the loss there was, you know, that it costs money to launch a major streaming platform like that. So a loss so far for ESPN Plus. And I thought it was funny. They specifically mentioned the like timing and schedule of the college football playoff games this year and how compared to last year, the way that the playoffs were structured, they made less money on it. I didn't quite 100% understand it, but it was interesting that they're one of the more transparent companies in their earnings reports. And they were like, you see, the way that the playoffs worked this year, we didn't make as much money off of them, breaking it down by like game time, kickoff time. It was very interesting to see. But yeah, Black Panther, who would have thought? And more to come, obviously, from Disney. Probably will be in even bigger core. I mean, I guess
it might
seasonally
even be, because June is also The Incredibles 2.
Oh goodness!
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh wow!
Then there's literally whatever phase the Marvel Cinematic Universe
next
is in, and
yeah,
that's I think there's probably two or three more movies coming out this year.
I mean, I would imagine that.
And then there's all the movies coming out next year. So this, the studio entertainment revenues is, I mean, that's.
Buckle in.
Exactly. When's the next Star Wars? I mean, Solo, but then is that this December?
Ooh, I don't know what the schedule is, actually.
Or is that next year? It's got to be this year, right? They're keeping it every year.
Yeah,
now.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
Episode 9?
Yeah, we're on episode 9 now. I wonder if this Solo is the only one that we're getting this year, though.
Oh, that makes sense. Because Rogue One came before 7 and 8.
Yeah, yeah. So we're getting a Star Wars movie per year, essentially.
So episode 9 will be
2019. I believe. I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, I mean, seasonally, you would think Q2 would be bigger than Q1 most years just because of, as you described, the summer blockbuster schedule. But I would have to imagine with Infinity War and Solo, and then, as you said, Incredibles 2. It's going to be a big, big, big Q2 for Disney Studio Entertainment Division this year, so more to come from them. All right, moving on. The other big earnings report this week was NVIDIA, little company called NVIDIA. I don't know if you've heard of these guys yet, but
I mean, we got asked yesterday if we were even covering it, so
we did cover the earnings. We covered it when it happened. We're covering it again now, and we'll be covering it for weeks, I'm sure. NVIDIA reported after the bell on Thursday. The company posted adjusted earnings of $2.05 per share, crushing the Zacks consensus estimate of $1.65 per share. Earnings up 141% year over year. At this point, I don't even know why analysts even try with these estimates. I don't know. I mean, it's just every single time it's getting crushed. Revenue figures of $3.2 billion topped our consensus estimate of $2.9 billion. Total revenue up 66% from the year ago period. Just running through some of the key divisions, gaming revenue increased 68% to touch $1.7 billion. This is obviously the core, the foundation of the business, the biggest unit, and has been a dominant player in gaming, PC gaming, for many, many years, and we're still seeing 68% growth in that unit. Just absolutely unbelievable to me. Data center revenue has been one of the key growth catalysts over the past few quarters, up 71% to an all-time quarterly record of $701 million. So again, that segment continues to be a major, major growth driver for NVIDIA. Also should note, professional visualization improved 22%, with the automotive unit actually being the most sluggish, with growth of just 4% in the quarter. Another big story was the company's capital return program. NVIDIA said it returned $746 million by way of $655 million in share repurchases and $91 million in quarterly cash dividends. And it also said it expects to return a total of $1.25 billion to shareholders in fiscal 2019. One of these companies that's already, they're a year ahead already on their fiscal calendar, because, you know, that makes 100% sense and is not extremely confusing. NVIDIA also released guidance for Q2, said it expects revenue of $3.1 billion plus or minus 2%. Prior to the report, our consensus estimate was calling for Q2 revenue to be $2.97 billion. So that's obviously that guidance is on the high end of that. So in summation, triple-digit earnings growth, 66% revenue growth, crushed earnings estimates, crushed revenue estimates, upbeat guidance. All things we've come to expect, though, for NVIDIA earnings reports, and the stock is actually down on Friday morning briefly. It opened.
It's still down like roughly 1%. So the report was more or less factored in.
Yeah. I mean, it's just these crushes and raises are baked into NVIDIA's stock price already. Yeah. It did come down and try to test that 250 level a little bit in early morning trading and just bounced off of that. And so it seems
like shares are up almost 113% in the 1 year period.
It's insane. I can't draw a comparison to anything else that we're seeing right now in the tech sector. It's actually truly remarkable. And then if you believe the big story of this becoming the artificial intelligence company of the world, maybe we're just getting started right now. So it's,
well, yeah. And then when is it going to stop?
Yeah, exactly. And maybe once the robot overlords have decided to show us mercy, it will stop in 50 years from now when the world is burning under the AI flag. That would be the pessimistic view. I'm optimistic about it. So hopefully that'll work out. Another great quarter for NVIDIA, though. And I guess as the day goes on, keep your eyes on NVDA and whether investors want to move this thing higher after another great quarter. That does it for us, though. As a reminder, shoot us an email at podcast@zacks.com if you want us to cover a different story or if you feel that we missed something. You can also check out all of our other exclusive audio content at zacks.com/podcasts. As always, please, please remember to subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. We are also now available on Spotify. All of our shows are there. Just search Zach's Investment Research. You should be able to find everything we have to offer. I'll also self-plug. I just launched a new show this week on the YouTube channel, Zach's Investment News, coming at you live on YouTube Live and Facebook Live a few days a week, Monday through Thursday. We will see you next time on the Zach's Friday Finish Line. Thank you guys for joining us.